Hey, it's your girl, L. Clay. You can follow me at Southern L on Instagram or at L underscore Clay on Snapchat. Check me out. Thanks for having me in the conversation.
You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon. Crazy's Dominican, you know, Vladimir, come on, yo. My cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, we are back.
Back.
In the Conversations, Damian Lemon on the microphone. As always, on my right hand side, I got
El Profesor Vladimir Camaño.
And on my left hand side, I got
Ali Muhammad in the conversation.
Guru.
Ooh. And
we got the triumvirate. We back. We
I was. I wasn't here last week.
You wasn't here last week?
Nah.
I felt like that shit was a long time ago. But we got a guest.
We
got a special guest in the building.
Especial.
This guest. What can we say? writer, humorist. Purveyor of cool culture.
Philosopher.
Culture.
Downtown.
Prosecco sipper.
Brooklyn.
You know.
Dipper.
Snapchat curator.
Leader of the new school.
Narrator. Give it up for L. Clay.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Woo. Thank you. That was a nice little introduction.
It is. Welcome to the conversation.
I've always
welcome
told Damon, if he wasn't a comedian, he'd be an amazing deacon.
Oh, man. Thank you. It's never too late.
Listen to that every day. When I get
too late. You know,
be a great deacon.
Money get low.
That's always the step-off plan.
Absolutely.
Convent church.
Sling that hope.
What up, Al?
How you doing?
How you doing? Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for being here.
In the conversation.
Highlight of the week.
Where do we start with L. Clay?
You want to introduce yourself?
Tell a little bit about yourself. Where they?
Well, I'm L. Clay.
And she doesn't usually talk like that.
I don't. I mean, I you got to adapt to your surroundings real quick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I live in Brooklyn, and I'm as I said, I'm all those things. I'm a humorist. I'm a writer, a purveyor of cool, and definitely a Prosecco. Prosecco sipper.
We are sipping.
Good
tipping a dipping.
When I get paid, I'm a champagne sipper, though.
Okay.
Sometimes when the fun's a little low, you got to hit the Prosecco.
Hey,
just as fancy.
Absolutely. Should have got bubbles.
Yeah, it got bubbles. As long as it got bubbles.
To the human eye.
Yeah.
The average man, they wouldn't know that wasn't that champagne.
Yeah. So, I live and work in New York City. Some fun, cool things. Work with some fun, cool people. Ali is one of them.
Word.
We go way back. That's me.
And see, what y'all got to know about L is, L is the, like when you see y'all, the cool people and shit, L is the cool motherfucker that the cool people go to know what's happening. So, you know what I'm saying? You might not see it out front, but all them people that you see out front turn around and go holler at L.
Yeah.
That is accurate.
No doubt.
Like Khaled, it's accurate.
Success.
Let me ask you, as a purveyor cool, someone to Ali's point who has been in the upper echelon of the cool motherfuckers in New York City for quite some time, what is cool to you? What does that bring about
that
when someone says?
Excellent question.
What is cool?
I think people's idea of what it means to be quote unquote cool, especially in with social media, is so misconstrued. Mm-hmm. I think cool things are just real things, authentic things. It's so you get a lot of fake, things when it comes to social media. People living lives that aren't really theirs.
Mm.
You know, everything is fake. Your ass is fake. Your hair is fake. So I think anything that is real, I find truth. Cool. So
okay.
I like real people that don't put on. I'm Southern, so a lot of that, this is not something I've been around my whole life. So I think connecting with like-minded, authentic individuals is what's cool.
How did you go about establishing yourself in New York City when you got here? What did you come here for? And then how did you kind of flourish out here?
I came to New York, oddly enough, for fashion, a little country girl watching TV and you see New York City and you just want to be here. I came for fashion, and vibe had a big impact on me. So okay. honestly, like that was when I first got to New York. That was my first internship. So that's how I met Ali, and you know that's how what led me to also meeting Damien as well. I got to vibe. I think you have to meet. Mm-hmm. Meet people who are kind of like OGs and people who have gone through it and can advise you and kind of like guide you through the murkiness of the industry.
She
and
made you guys into uncles just now.
I called him late.
I've been uncles.
He's uncle on Snapchat.
Yeah, uncle. OG. Oh, that's your handle?
Uncle Ali.
Are you
serious? I refer to him as Uncle Ali on the snap.
But yeah, I think you just... I got into the industry I wanted to be in, and I connected with really great people like Bevy,
okay.
Bevy Smith. And then when I got to Def Jam, I connected with somebody like, you know, like Vashti. And okay. when you connect with people who are that do things that you're interested in and are successful in them, you can they can help you, guide you, put you on. And I think, you know, that's how I still kind of my foundation in New York is based on those two.
Okay. Are you at the level where you're an auntie now, where you're giving out advice?
I think so. Yeah. It's funny. It's like, I'm always kind of someone people I think come to for advice in general. I don't know if it's like the southern vibes mm-hmm. is very cozy, but I am. You know, I'm 30 years old, and I think a lot of times you think you know what you want to do, and you know after you graduate from college or whatever, you have your first gig, and it's like, nah, I don't really want to do this shit, and then. You look at somebody that's maybe pursuing what they want to do and you kind of look to them for help. And as a person in position that's kind of pursuing what I want to do, people look at me and say, oh my God, you're doing this. What do you think about, you know, what do you think about what I'm trying to do? Mm-hmm. And I do some creative consulting. So people kind of, based on the people I work with, they'll ask me, well, you know, can you help me out with this? What's your mm-hmm. opinion on this idea, this product, or whatever? So yeah, I guess I am. I call myself Air Auntie because I wear these like horrible little like slip-on Nikes that I love.
Oh, those are Nike slips. Yeah, I know. Those are definitely some rare. I've never seen a good Nike.
I said take
van looking slip.
Yeah, good.
I had this Jamaican, a young Jamaican construction dude was like, yo, how you get the Nike sign on the Vans? Because they're Nikes.
That's a misdirection.
You know, West Indian love that type of shoe. So he's probably asking for his own. He's like, I need that.
Yeah, it's a. That. I'm obsessed. So I call these.
Feet get hot.
Yeah, these are my Air Aunties. So I designated myself as an auntie.
Jamaican sneakers.
Yeah, Travel Fox.
Remember Travel Fox was the shit back in the day.
That was a Jamaican.
Is that still
shoe.
Out? Is Travel Fox?
Hell
no,
nah, not in America.
I'm from the Bronx. What's Travel Fox?
It was like a
Jamaican Yaman Bumba Clot shoe.
Are you serious?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
So that would
They were popping.
It was like the shape of a belly, but they were more. They had like a tennis shoe type of sole.
Like when everybody was wearing like them bowling shoes.
No, like ballys. Remember ballys? You know what I'm saying? Like so. It was like a high top type of shoe. It was kind of like in the same vein of a belly, but it wasn't as expensive and it had like a different kind of sole.
It was definitely an indicator that you was Jamaican.
You was Jamaican. It was definitely a Jamaican
Fox.
Shoe. You know what I'm saying?
Mm. Maybe had a perforated wife beater on. You know.
It was a net, man.
It was a good old
no
net.
Yeah, it was a net.
With the holes.
I got a question for you. So, yes. Two questions. One is, you're from the South.
Yeah.
You don't mind me asking, are your parents, like, what did your parents grow up doing? Like, what are they?
Sharecroppers. And I'm just like,
that's what he wanted to hear.
That's what you want to
pick a cop.
I'm getting some 80s.
We still sharecropping off the white man's land. We still sharecropping off the white man's land. No.
Hilarious.
I was raised by my great aunt and great uncle. So my aunt was a stay at home mother. She like raised it, but my uncle worked at like a plant.
So that's why I'm asking now. So then, you're like so multi versatile.
Yeah.
So when you go back home and they go, you know, what you do for work? What do you say to them? Like, well,
that's a good Thanksgiving question.
Oh, God.
I purvey cool. You know, like, how do you say to your family?
It's so funny to try to explain. You know, I just went to Dubai and it was for Cadillac.
I like how you said that so humbly. You know, I was just,
but it was for Cadillac.
I was out in Dubai.
For Cadillac.
For Cadillac.
For Cadillac. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother has an array of Cadillacs.
An array? This is called Stunt Mountain that we're scaling right now. Go ahead.
So I call my grandmother. I'm like, I'm going to Dubai for Cadillac. And she's like, I don't understand. And I was like, well, my friend gonna,
it's a dealership right here.
Is gonna DJ in the desert. Wow. For a fashion show after party. So it's hard to explain, you know, when you get a good job, everybody understands that, right. You know, a good job.
Black Enterprise.
I'm recently not employed at my good job. Okay. So they don't get that.
Right.
They don't understand. What do you mean? You know, what is a podcast? So it's difficult to try to explain what you do always.
Because Damien, I think, has the funniest story with your grandmother.
Oh, when I, yeah, my grandmother's funny. When I was transitioning to comedy, you know, you got to do the comedy shit. You don't get paid for a while, right? So I would tell her, I'd be like, you know, if I'm doing this show, it's been good. You got to talk about the momentum.
Oh, yeah,
you know what I mean? Always, I feel it, you know? So one day she hit me. She said, "So how's the volunteering going?" I was like, "Wait a minute, because if I ain't making no money, it's clearly some volunteering."
But she said, "If you don't get money, it's a hobby.
It's a hobby."
Yeah,
you know,
it's
real.
I just don't. It's not. They don't get it.
No.
You know, even people that are young don't get it. I think it's just a different world when you're in an industry, industry.
Because when you said to me, "Purveyor of cool," like for my generation and under. We hear that and we go, oh, she's doing a thing, you know. But I can see older cats going, what? Does that have benefits? What's going on here?
I mean, you know, you can try to explain the term influencer marketing. I just all say it's marketing stuff. That's what I say.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm doing marketing work. That's what I'm doing. I have to connect it to my degree so it can make actual sense.
Yeah, and then out here in this world, when you're doing that type of thing, you have to invent ways to make money. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
Especially it's you, comedians. Yeah, I know I do. You had to conjure up.
You get that call. Bar mitzvahs? Yeah, I do those.
You know what I'm
I do bar mitzvahs.
You had to use whatever you got to conjure up
an
opportunity to get money. And that's what it's all about. That's what the hustle about.
You got to be resourceful.
You know what I'm saying? You got to be thoughtful. Resourceful.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I got an L. Clay story.
Uh-oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, shit.
This was a few years back, too. And it speaks to... You know what I'm saying? Who she is as a her energy. You know what I'm saying? We, you know, I speak about
her. I know what you're about to say.
The energy. You know what I mean? And it was
we were in Dubai.
No, we were in New York.
Okay.
And she was working with Bev, and it was the Nike when they had the World Basketball thing.
Yeah.
So that was about 3-4 years ago. And so they had this big after party, you know what I'm saying, at the spot. You know, everybody come to the after party and shit. And then, you know, I see Elle in there. What up, what up? And then as we doing this, what up, what up? Jay-Z and Entourage comes through.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Was Beyonce with him?
Yeah.
Beyonce, Jay-Z, the whole thing. And then Jay walks in, looks at Elle, hugs her up, pull her into the VIP, and spends the next 30 minutes chopping it up with Elle. Like, you had a Jordan party.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of people in that.
Jordan might be at that
bench. Jordan was in there.
He was with Charles Oakley.
He was always together.
And Chris Paul. They were forcing Chris Paul to the party.
If you Google.
Hilarious. I think I see that photo. Yeah.
With Jordan and Jay-Z, that was at that party.
Wow.
But the first 30 minutes of that party, Jay-Z was chopping it up with L.
Had to speak to the Dundas.
The purveyor.
I was like out of my mind, intoxicated. I think I like asked Beyonce a question. And like we had like I was like trying to talk to her and I was a little tipsy. I think she was too.
No doubt.
It was a good night though.
Yeah, it was a good
but
night.
It was. It was like, hey, what's up?
I was like, ain't that a bitch?
How was that? How did that relationship start? Because
that's a good story.
That's a prize. That's an Instagram. Everybody else would have been selfieing and Snapchatting. Hey, so Jay, now what was you saying to me? How'd y'all establish that?
Oh no, I used to intern at Def Jam when he was president. So I met him like while I was interning, and just you know,
stepped to him, said hello.
I did step to him. And say I actually complimented him, or he complimented. No, I complimented him on a T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
But I was a wild ass intern. I used to be crazy. I thought I was gonna be like Puff. So I invited like Jay-Z and L.A. Reid and to my college graduation.
Dope.
So
yeah. I want to stop.
Why not?
I'm just confused.
Why not?
I want to know.
I was so crazy. I let God
know. No,
hold on,
wait. I want to know.
Fuck that. Why not?
No, I love the audacity. I'm just curious. That what was it like? Did you send them a mailing?
No, we were in the office. Like in 2007. Yeah. This is in 2007. Jay-Z was actively in the building at Def Jam. All the time. And so was L.A. Reid. They had an office. Like, so I thought I was like on some real like Puff. Like, uh-huh. take that. I was like writing proposals. Like, I was in there. I was getting a fucking job when I graduated. So I would do, I used to have to go around and get, I think, signatures of their assistants like once a week. So mm-hmm. I took graduation invites in and put it in there. And like in their on their assistant's desk.
Wow.
I mean, like, why not?
Well, let's just say this real quick, because typically the college graduation invite, there's a small allocation of this. So that means somebody uncle, maybe a grand,
nah,
somebody
well,
didn't
I'm from the
get
South,
one.
You know, my uncle didn't even come because he's like, I gotta go to church, I can't miss church. You know, he's a deacon.
Hilarious.
So you know how like people be at in the South.
Uh huh. So you said I have Jay go in your place.
Yeah, I'm gonna give.
What's the ranking? Obviously, the God first, family.
You know, Hova. Hova somewhere in there.
Yeah, but he ain't come.
Whatever.
Shit.
A nigga probably apologize every time he see you. Like,
he
damn.
He made up for it at the Jordan party, though.
Yeah, but he did. It was. It was a very warm welcome. Yeah, but I just met him through like being around Def Jam. Yeah.
Damn, man. I had an interested whole story before. I've had, you know, I was trying to be like that, but it was
so
a
you're
little.
Saying, you're saying
I've been snubbed. I had a Spike Lee Hove type story at the Artist on the Verge one time.
So Hove didn't, he didn't spend half an hour with you.
Hell no. I tried to get a.
Negative 30 minutes.
It was a time I used to street tape for Rockefeller years ago. This is back when fucking. What's the movie that came out? Streets is Watching. Streets is Watching came out. They was doing the Streets is Watching screening at the screening room down on Varick and shit, right? It was years ago. I was a street team nigga. And this I'll show you how old it was. They had an Alizé open bar. And that shit was a fact.
That shit was lit.
Nigga, that shit was good. Woo! Shit was great.
Any party with Alizé was lit.
I was super drunk.
All that sugar.
Yeah, it was definitely.
Alizé made happy drunks.
Happy drunks,
and made good parties.
Diabetes and drugs.
You know,
absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Get the sugar.
Hey, fucking straight now, later juice.
No doubt.
But we was twisted. I was twisted off of that. I had a good time. Was running around doing all types of wild shit. I made out with some girl from Dallas that I never met before. I was living. So I was feeling myself. Hove came in. He was at a banquet with a bunch of women. And this is early Hove. This is Streets is Watching Hove, right?
Oh, he was a savage back then, though.
But I mean, but he still wasn't. Like Hove, he wasn't Jay-Z.
Yeah, yeah.
He was Hove. He was the shit, but he was still on that incline. Mm-hmm. So I'm one of these cats, you know, if you're a fan of somebody, you feel like they haven't made it yet. You feel like you doing them kind of a service to
access,
be a fan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Let them know.
You help make them.
I see you. I see you when the world don't see you. You know what I mean?
Not for me. You're nothing.
Yeah, because you know, shit. I mean, I see you got this whole big production here, but it, you know. Yeah. Obviously, you need to be validated by me in my inebriated state. So I come over to Hove. He's in the banquet with just women and shit, and him and Moet. Very Jay-Z. And I'm like, yo! Yo, Jay, what up? One of them drunk ass give him a pound and shit. He gives me the pound. Hey, peace. I was like, yo. You killing him right now. Some silly shit. I don't know what the colloquial term was for the moment, but I had to let that nigga know I knew he was winning. I was like, my man, you winning. He was like, well, good looking. I appreciate it. You know, real cool. Try to talk it off. Nah, B, no, I got to let you know. No, for real. You are winning. And he was like, dude, you're killing me right now. I just had to step off. I was like, all right, well, you know, take it easy. And that was my encounter with Jay-Z. That shit lasted about 2.5 minutes.
Did you sober up for those 2.5 minutes?
It was a sobering moment. I think I might have left. I might have took my little book bag full of little CD singles or whatever the fuck we was handing out.
Stickers.
And got my ass back on the train.
We pasted material. Kit.
Oh, man. I'm in this bitch way. Go ahead.
Al, but what did you learn working with Hov? Like, what did you pick up from him during those years?
From being in Def Jam when he was in his office? Nothing.
Oh, he's so basic. Okay.
All right. I mean, I just, the energy in the building was really interesting, I think, then. That was right after, I think, Jewels had slapped somebody that worked there.
Oh, wow. Mm.
You remember that story?
Was that, I heard was about that HR that. Department? Or no?
Who was it? You want to say?
I know who it is. Oh, I heard who it was. It was somebody who Shame. Worked there.
Mm. But we'll talk about that off mic.
But yeah, he it was a lot of...
Tune in.
Did he say, hey?
It was beefed up security in there.
Oh, shit.
And I heard that's why it happened. I thought it was because Jay-Z was in the building. It was like, nah, because Jewels came one time and smacked somebody that worked there. Mm-hmm. It was, I mean, it was fun. Like, you know,
I like, he smacked somebody that worked there, took a beat. But it was fun, you know. We
had, I mean,
that,
it was.
You know, that was hip hop.
That's part of the energy.
Shit, hip hop, early 2000s to, you know, what I'm saying?
Yesterday.
Par for the course.
It was wild in them buildings.
It was, you know, Redman.
On one side of the building. You know, they had to separate it, though.
Redman came through
with a smoking a blunt in the building, you know, harassing the people. It was great, you know, being real loud. I mean, you would just see, I was a marketing intern, so I would see, you know, all the rappers, like, all the time. I wasn't, like, somewhere, like, tucked neatly into, like, human resources or something, finance or something. I was like... You know, marketing directors have to work with the artists all the time.
Who were you at?
Huh?
Who was your boss?
I worked with a few of them. It was Ashana Ayers,
Ashana?
She does, you know, she had Fab, and yes, I forgot who had, she had.
She had Jeezy.
She had Jeezy.
She definitely had Jeezy.
She had Luda.
She had Neo.
She brought Neo.
I used to work with Amber Noble.
Amber Noble. Really?
And she was managing Idris Elba at the time.
Wow, early.
But I didn't know. She was like, go to the reception.
Bell?
Yeah, no, after Stringer Bell.
Okay.
But oh. I didn't have HBO, you know, because my mom wasn't paying for that. So I didn't really know who he was. So she was like, go get Idris from the front. So mm-hmm. I went.
So funny. Go get Idris.
And I walk up and I'm like, I'm here to get, oh shit, this fucking Idris Elba sitting. And I had to walk him back to her.
So you just thought he was attractive off of just regular eye to eye, not even attractive.
I just didn't realize who I was going to like walk to the back.
But you had heard of him before.
Yeah, I know who he was when I saw him, but I just heard a name and go get. You know, as an intern, you just like a little. You just run.
I mean, he was cracking. By the time The Wire was up, he was...
Yeah.
Yeah, but what else? I mean, where else was he being seen? I know he was DJing a little bit,
he was in the gospel. You know, shout out to the gospel.
Shout out to the gospel. You know, man.
He did Luther.
That Luther shit came out a little later.
Luther was later. I thought it dropped.
But Stringer Bell put him on the map, though.
Yeah, he was popping.
He was Stringer fucking Bell.
Yeah, he was...
And, you know, they was talking about him.
What's her dude? Kiafa, Roberto... I think, yeah, Kiafa. Okay. Yeah, Kiafa. And then I was Tracy Waples, who I owe a lot of love to. She used to, she empowered me.
Oh, that's what's up.
During that time.
Tracy Waples.
Yeah.
She is a legend.
Yeah, she was real cool.
Legacy.
You
know? Nah, man.
Yeah.
That's what's up. You still fuck with marketing at all, or what made you, do you still?
I mean, I think a part of being like any kind of creative advising is understanding marketing, understanding demographics. So, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
No doubt. So you, speaking of creative directing, you did the creative direction on Vashti's Highlight Bling video.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Oh, well, you know, Vashti is a good friend of mine. She's a director. We met at Def Jam in 07. She was working in the creative department, and I was a marketing intern. And she just, you know, she, I think, had a vision to tell the story of a girl who was going through it and trying to reach her man, and he was unavailable. And this, I think the song really, you know, it just kind of married well with the song. Okay. So a lot of, since Vashti was in the actual video, I think a lot of times my role in that regard was just to kind of keep the story and her vision moving along and making sure it kind of made sense. I casted A$AP Bari in it, who, you know, he's a homie. So we wanted to, I like authenticity, like I said earlier, and the, you know, somebody who, I like New York. I'm obsessed with, like, you know, real New York experiences. And he, to me, totally reflects, like, you know, Harlem. He is Harlem, so he embodies that. And I wanted somebody to be a strong lead, or the he was a side dude, actually.
Yeah, well, who was that other dude?
The white guy?
Yeah. The white guy. His name was Johnny. He's a he's in a band.
White Johnny.
White Johnny.
White Johnny. No, he's in a band. He's a
Brad.
He's a, the whitest man. Brad. No, he was cool. Yeah, he was like, you know, a rocker dude.
So you did the casting and everything? You worked with that on the...
I think, you know, we kind of come together. She brought the idea, and, you know, I kind of, like, just help fill in some holes and then make sure once we get going, because once we get going, it's like, if you're acting in your shit, you got to have somebody you can trust to help continue to push your story along.
Yeah. It was a big departure for her.
Yeah. She got damn near naked in there.
Damn near.
Well, you know,
what is the name of this?
It's what is it? The Hotline Bling?
Hotline Bling. Unofficial video.
The unofficial Hotline Bling video. The art version.
Fantastic. Well, yeah, I think, you know,
the art version.
She's got more comfortable with her body and who she is. You know, she was always been covered up. Mm-hmm. And even I worked on a shoot with her. She does an editorial with the Supreme every season, pretty much. And I did a creative direction of that. It's just like, you know, you get older, you get more comfortable with your body. I have so many of my female friends around me who are like changing their whole vibe.
To the grown woman vibe.
Grown woman vibe. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, as you get older, before you might be insecure about some things, you might be uncomfortable with some things. Mm-hmm. And now you feeling like you never felt.
Mm-hmm. Pay your own rent.
And you,
Yes.
You feeling good. you feeling ripe. You feeling ready. Uh-huh. And you want to give a little something
Auntie
different.
Vash,
give the people what they want.
Give, you know. Give yourself what you
yourself.
Want. Give yourself.
Don't forget the people.
And in turn, if the people find it, you know, appealing, they pick up. But
that's
you know.
Dope.
And the creepy award goes to.
Oh man! Again and again.
Nah, that's
and
dope.
Another one.
Another.
How did y'all get close though? Because I mean, you know, it seems like y'all two have a very like close relationship. But it seems like I've met Vashti. I don't know how she move about, but it seems like. She don't have a whole lot of people that rock with her. Or I don't know. She seems she's self-admittedly, she says she's awkward a bit. She don't really, you know, she's not the most.
She, like I said, we were at Def Jam. She was getting ready. She was starting her 1992 party.
Okay. Mm.
And I was literally like, I would have done, I just wanted to like work and be like, to do anything. Like, you know, okay. I was at Def Jam. I wanted to be Puff. I wanted to take that. Can't stop, won't stop. And I started helping her out doing her parties. Mm-hmm. And I think she did one of her first videos, the CRS video. And I helped her on that. And I was working with her in the beginning. And I think through the work relationship, you know, we became our blood brotherhood. And we have a lot of similarities. You know, we're guys, girls. We don't really like a lot of female energy.
Okay.
So I think we get along that way.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, that's my brother.
That's what's up. No doubt.
That's what it did.
So Puffy was influential to how you move.
I just think the hustle, like anybody, like, you know, I think you come, especially from somebody who's not from New York, because I don't know anyone from my home that's like that. I don't know anyone that aspires as high as I think I do.
Uh-huh.
People want a good job. You want a good, you want a nice husband. You want a cute home.
Pension.
Yeah, want a pension. And I think, you know, the idea of being able to do whatever you want to do and to really create your own life and to really reach your, like, the sky's the limit, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
But I think if you came in the entertainment industry after 1993, you have been influenced by, or you know what I'm saying, Puff has made a way for you to actually be there.
We had this conversation recently.
Absolutely.
Because after Puff, every company needed, you know what I'm saying, young black element in the building.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because of him. Because of Puff, you know what I'm saying, I could move from Miami and come to New York and a year later have a corporate card and be, you know, running around, you know what I'm saying, flossing at the best hotels because of what Puff kind of laid out, and he showed the importance of urban culture and urban luxury, and you know what I mean. So if you came to New York in after 93, you was influenced by Puff in some kind of way.
You know what? To his credit, let's talk about, because I know you big on Ray Lewis and his motivational speeches and his talk game. Puff's talk game, that shit is unparalleled, babe. Like, that shit is self-help book. Mm-hmm. Cut with cocaine. Like, the shit is ridiculous. And he's back in rare form recently. He's been on a few records just recently. You know what I mean? Talking that shit again.
I mean, if you go on my Snapchat right now, I'm writing a proposal to Money Making Mitch.
Trying to tell you.
Right now.
If you broke and you got...
Right now, this very second.
What's the Snapchat handle?
Thorough TV.
Okay.
Spell that out for the people.
THOROTV.
Yeah, man. If you're trying to get to some money.
That one interlude is everything. I mean, I just think it is. It's a motor. You have to have a different motor in your back to really wake up and seize the day. And, like, you know, if you want to win, if you want to change your life. And you showing niggas you can do whatever you want to do.
You believe you can fly after listening to Puff.
I feel like I got to run a marathon listening to that.
Because
shit.
after he says it, you realize that he's done all that shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Absolutely. He has run the marathon. He has done all that shit.
Yeah.
He done all the shit that you ever thought you might want to do is in this game. You know what I'm saying? And shit. So how, you know what I mean? It comes off, it's very authentic. You know what I'm saying? It's real.
He could be hip hop's greatest preacher. I don't know who fuck. I mean, there's some people out
there.
What
about Mace?
Mace are off and on again, preacher. I don't know.
DJ Khaled.
Who else will be on?
Khaled's coming up. Khaled's coming
who
up.
Who else will be on?
Deacon Khaled.
Yeah, Khaled is
Deacon
one of them.
Khaled.
Who else?
Khaled
said
they don't open the door. You gotta open the door.
KRS-One's more of a teacher than a preacher.
Right.
Motherfucking Erykah Badu was on Twitter preaching yesterday.
Word?
What she was talking about?
She's
dropping jewels.
She's a thing now. She's a
album out?
No. She's a
doula.
A doula.
Oh, she's been a doula.
What is
for
a doula?
Me.
She birthed babies. Like, she helped you birth your baby.
No, that's a
cool and comfortable.
A doula is like a midwife actually, I think, delivers the baby. I think a doula is more of like a coach.
Okay.
Kind of like a
corner man.
Yeah, it's kind of like helps you facilitate
you can do it.
Spiritually.
Yeah.
Chris on the case.
Yeah, I think she guides you. I think it's something like that. Right. It's very important as well.
No doubt. You definitely need that spiritual presence in the room when the baby's being born.
The incense burning and
all
that. Baby coming to
the
world coughing.
It get a little cold in them hospitals. You know what I'm saying? Not cold as far as temperature, but just spiritually, it get cold. You got doctors. You got... You know
white
saying?
Coats,
plugs, and
you're the only parent here, right?
Yeah, black fathers,
black fathers. So it's like a birthing hype man or hype woman.
A birth, actually, the anti-hype.
You got it.
It's anti-hype. Actually, it's like, you know what I'm saying, bring
calm
your ass
down,
smooth.
Smooth.
Like, it's all good. This is what's supposed to happen. This is what's been happening for millions of years.
You can do this.
This is not new. This is all you.
You got a common doula voice. You ever thought about getting into doula-ism?
You could be a great doula.
Good doula.
Maybe I could.
Doula.
Be a doula. They get bread.
I would think you got to cut a doula a good check. I'm not just going to be in the room.
Yeah, doulas. I mean, it's people that come from all over the world to see a good doula.
Word.
I didn't even know the doula game was this strong.
I have a friend. She was, I think, an apprentice to be a doula, like in like Guatemala. And like she like is all about like the birthing and the whole experience of like international birthing methods and all this kind of stuff. It's deep.
Listen, my stepmother, she's not a doula, but they have friends that moved back to Africa, and when that lady has babies, she flies back to America and invites her to be in the room for her presence.
Just for her energy. She don't even need to say nothing.
I mean, I guess she comforts her and do all that. I would never been in the room, but I know they come to America and fly her to where they at when they having babies.
Do like a human crystal.
And that's like
a calming,
you know,
calming presence.
When you when you in touch and you know you need that type of energy, You seek it out and you bring it in.
Damn, I'm gonna get my power up. That sounds like
you got your power up.
Who would you want to be a doula? Like, if you could have a celebrity doula,
Ray
who do you
Lewis,
feel like
Ray
is...
Lewis?
You want Ray? Come on!
I'm pissed off for greatness.
Y'all ain't having no babies.
I don't think
that's
I want a doula. I think I would want, like, if a dude can like rally a gang of niggas to like win
a
Super Bowl.
A gang.
You want him as your doula?
Hell yeah! I don't be carved out. I want to be coached that shit out of me. Like, come on, bitch. Get that shit. Like,
you got it.
You got it. We on the, it's 4th and 20, but.
There you go. There you go. Boom!
Yeah. I want that. I don't want to be calmed out. Because I'm
a Floyd Mayweather in there. You know what I mean? Yeah. Somebody, yeah.
Puff.
Yeah.
Another one. Another one, L.
The key to success is pushing.
Is push.
Push.
Break that water, L.
Lion.
Lion order.
I want Cali behind me. Smooth.
Oh, man.
With the cocoa butter for my stretch marks. Smooth.
That's CVS cocoa butter.
Nah, he had a Palmer's. Let's not do him like that. He had a full, he had a little guy, a little Palmer's.
He had a
piece.
Little travel joint, though.
Did he have a travel piece?
I think he had a.
I feel like that don't even service his whole
torso. Situation.
He got a huge. Yeah, but you got to see him on Snapchat.
It get kind of weird being in the shower with Khaled. I kind of skipped through the shower.
Rev Run brought you to the bathtub.
I never watched it all the way through to the end.
You seen them things, but he
get the little resolution.
He always on the BlackBerry.
Yeah, I remember that shit. I ain't watched that shit that much.
Talk about a hustle.
But you on your phone and Khaled in the shower, man. Nah, that's a snap.
He's doing the prison style. He got that the soap in hand.
Yeah, he's keeping it. I don't keep you tuned in.
I don't even like to hear myself brush my teeth, so I'm damn sure I hear Khaled brush his.
Listerine is the key to success.
The success.
To more success. I love that shit, man. We talking Snapchat.
Snapchat.
I lurk on Snapchat, but you know.
You on it?
I might be. I'm out there. I'm in the world. I'm lurking. I know you on there, Thorough TV.
I'm on there, but I'm still learning. I'm old, so I had to go.
Say that, man.
I had to go to the damn. I had to go to get some motherfucking
watch
help.
Me as I go to the pharmacy.
I go to L to get help with my motherfucking snaps. So.
I love Snapchat.
Tune in.
I love Snapchat. It's like it's just. It's so fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. It's just like, you know, it's 10 seconds to kind of
no doubt
to get in what you want to get in. It's a perfect platform for foolishness.
And I'm committed.
I like that.
I'm committed.
I like that.
But I haven't mastered.
Is it because you're overthinking it? Because I know it's because I'm overthinking it.
Oh, yeah. You can't overthink it.
I used to
overthink it. But then I think you have to figure out your style.
Right.
And I think I got my style, so then I'm ready.
It's on your voice.
What's your style?
Voice.
What's your Snapchat voice?
Well, also, I don't generally do selfie snaps. I don't put myself in it a lot because, you know, that's just not my style anyway. Uh-huh. I like to show people what I'm seeing.
Okay.
I think, you know, if it's interesting, I snap it on a train.
Mm-hmm.
I really like couples interacting. Mm. I do like a heart around it, and I say all I want is like I saw a couple, two people on a hover round. Uh-huh. You know that motorized wheelchair.
Yeah,
I'm like all I want is somebody to ride me on a hover round.
Question for you.
I know what question you gonna ask? Release form question. Is that what you go with?
How the hell did you know, Damien?
I already know how you go. Go ahead, speak on
people's
that.
Permission.
Yeah, I don't.
Hell no.
Fuck permission.
Get out of here. That bullshit.
That's 2000.
Get off the public street.
I'm not humans in New York. I'm not interviewing people. I'm getting you. I saw a little girl licking the pole you hold on the train, and I put on a Snapchat. I put your kids on Snapchat. Hi, your kids.
I put your kids.
Hi, your kids.
So that means
they ask you crazy, they go on Snapchat.
By doing that. Say if I catch you at an off moment and I see you on the train.
You can, because
digging
listen,
in your nose.
I heard y'all's Patty interview. You got to stay ready.
Okay.
You ain't going to be on an off moment.
Never.
Never.
Never caught.
Never catch me slipping. Unless it's after a certain hour. And
you
I
ain't never had to pull somebody to say, hey, listen, I just saw you snap me. Could you cut that down? Because I was wild.
I have never seen a snap of me where I was like, well, I mean, it's the nature of the beast. I've seen, you know, that's a whole idea. Like, people take photos of you versus when you take photos of them. It's like, people, you know, it just happens. But also, too, you have to realize it's a speck in a grand giant universe. Snapchat is 10 seconds that fucking expires by tomorrow.
That's true.
Yeah.
So I can't be mad at that.
That's a good way of looking at it. I mean, it's the truth. I mean,
we come from a whole another era. I know I do. You know what I'm saying? That's what you had to break through to get through, like a snap, is where You know what I'm saying? What happens in this house stays in this house. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Our business is our business. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, antiquated privacy. Everybody's business ain't nobody business.
Privacy.
I'm sure your kids probably snapping. Why you know he tripping?
I take a
Exactly.
Meatloaf again.
That's the shit I don't like about Snapchat, because you're not all the way in the joke. You might be the punchline. Little do you know.
I seen a snap of my son posting my wife pulling money out her bra.
Oh,
that's what I mean.
That's funny though.
I had to get to it. Listen, man.
What happened in this house?
Stay in this house. Everybody's business ain't nobody business.
And you know, you know, someone on the Snapchat was like, "Them titties, though." You know,
She showed the titties. She just put her hand in her shirt and pulled out some money.
But I think that's also what connects us is that those ideas. That's like those hashtags. Thanksgiving with Black families. Like your mama pulling money out her bra, his homeboy's gonna see that and be like, yo, my mom did the same thing. Like, you know, it's like those things connect us. It's like common threads that we find, even if they're intimate, you know, everybody has a, you know, can relate to that story.
That's a new age way of thinking of it.
It is new age. Because my dad, literally, if I take a photo of him, it takes like a 2 to 3 minute conversation of him going over the legalities of that photo. But I don't know about it. Where you going? Going outside, my father. We have to go back. Dad, it's just for my phone, my archive, and not going to Ross. Okay,
Vlad,
your dad is like.
You might have the answer to your woes.
Uh oh.
When your dad's on the toilet,
Snapchat,
pooping with the door open, snap him.
I can't snap. He would lose his mind.
Exactly, but I bet he'll close that motherfucking door.
My father does that on occasion. He'll take a.
Everybody on the conversation knows.
Your dad's just with the door open?
Blue cop, he's a worker, man, dude. No, at the end of the day, he doesn't
get
no
pay. He paid for that door.
Exactly. That's his philosophy.
He paid for that house.
That's his philosophy.
I can do what the fuck I want to do.
No one said thank you to me today, so I will
snap him and see what happens.
He'll kill you. Ring your neck.
Yeah, hell of a Snapchat series.
That'd be funny,
he'll
though.
Ring your neck.
Musings from the
shitting in the wild.
He'll close that door every time. Like, oh, you motherfucker.
I'm trying to show the diablo.
Oh man,
porcelain tails.
He will wring your neck.
So your voices. You see, you look outside for your Snapchat voice. That's your voice. What you think
also? I document my life. I mean, I said that my life is interesting. You know, I think if you live in New York, you'll be hard pressed to not have a really interesting life. So it's like the things that I see, whether it's the Showtime on the train, or
a web series.
I mean, it is. It's like you're out and about. Like right now, I'm snapping because I'm in the conversation.
Yeah,
we in the conversation.
You've been snapping me while we've been here.
I snapped, a little bit earlier.
Yeah, no release.
Look at that. Look at
no
that.
Release, dog. You in the world already?
It's already commented on.
But I mean, you.
How was my posture? No, I'm joking.
But you, I don't know. I don't adopt all social media platforms. I'm not a big fan of like Twitter.
No.
I think Twitter was something that you had to be on
early.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think also because I tried to be on Twitter. I tried to tweet, but also my funny. Mm-hmm. As a funny person, a humorist, it's like it has to be in context. And I think sometimes I'll write a whole tweet, and I'm like, it sounds so funny in my head, but then when I put it on, like, you know, write it down, it doesn't really translate. Mm-hmm. So I think there are people who are really good at that. I'm good at Snapchat. I can capture a moment in 10 seconds.
Mm. And it preserves the context because you can see it.
Yeah, because you can see it.
Yeah.
And you can add a little bit of context too. You could type in blah, 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 blah.
You can type it. You can also, it's visual. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a visual learner, as the Pilates lady at my mom's gym told me. Mm. I'm a visual learner.
Howard Gardner.
Yeah. So, I don't really deal with Twitter. I back out of that. I'm an Instagram, Snapchat.
No person. Facebook?
The greatest decision I ever made in my life.
I heard you say that.
Not having
talk
Facebook.
About that.
I only
talk
know about
that.
Two or three people that never jumped on Facebook.
Because Facebook low key like owns your life. Like you don't know it.
Absolutely.
Yet.
No, I know.
Facebook, all your intellectual, your personal information, the government is like, you know, Mark Zuckerberg chilling with the government.
He is the government. How many people he got on there? 500 million?
Yeah. Well, he just donated $49 billion, I think it was.
He ain't donated shit yet. He committed to donate his shares that he will still have control of.
I love that.
But no.
This donation's in good faith.
And they say that shit is to beat the tax game.
It ain't that altruistic.
Nah, come on.
No Facebook. I had a MySpace back when that was a thing. But Facebook ever. Nah. Because also, too, I was in... Facebook used to just be for college students.
Yeah. Right.
And I was out of college by the time I even thought about it. Mm. So I felt like it was weird for me to have a Facebook. But then it was a thing where, like, my uncle had a Facebook.
Mm.
After, like, a triple bypass, he was like, you need to get a Facebook so we can stay connected. I was like, nigga, I don't really talk to that guy anyway.
If this triple bypass didn't do it, we
know.
Yeah. No.
Damn it. I mean, shit.
The spiritual
update. Oh, yeah. It's true. That shit is, you know, so, it's one of those things.
You get real spiritual.
It's the truth, man.
Yeah,
it's
so, No Facebook. I have logins for like 5 people's Facebook. So,
how's that?
You man Facebooks?
No, I can just lurk if you I just need lurk. To. My sister was like, "Here, look at this. Go look at this message." Or
that's like a Netflix
a friend
account.
Of mine.
Check this out.
Yeah, lurk. Like HBO Go. Go check this out. You just have to lurk on some exes, so, you know.
You on your comedic rants.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You broke down the science of lurking. And Deeza is a big Snapchat lurker.
No,
and you know what I'm saying?
On.
According to your theory, we all lurk.
Everybody lurks.
Absolutely. Everybody lurks.
Hashtag everybody lurks.
This could be an amazing break TED down. Talk.
Break it down. Lurking, I mean, talk. I think
science
it's
lurking. Yeah.
Lurking.
Ladies
on...
and gentlemen, L. Clay on
lurking.
Lurking.
Thank you. Well, if you've listened to my my track, Everybody Lurks, then you know lurking on Snapchat is different because you can see. Unless you have an anonymous or a something that's not connected to you, like Snapchat, that doesn't have your name, you can see who's watching you on Snapchat.
Mm-hmm. Can you?
Yeah.
You see everybody. Damien's face.
You see everybody who. You ain't even who you are.
But hold on.
His face was priceless.
But hold on. But also, you can see whose name is connected to whose contact in your phone.
Right.
So unless, like, you know, if I have your phone number, I can see your Snapchat name.
Let me see that.
So yours didn't show up. I don't know who you were. Okay. But on Instagram, my Instagram is not a private page.
Mm-hmm.
You're allowed to lurk freely.
Who does a private fucking Insta? That's ridiculous.
Let me tell
to
you
me. Those
who private pages. Does that shit? Everybody in Alabama does a private.
Yeah.
All my friends, my childhood friends, I'm like, who the fuck are you hiding from?
And then when you unlock a private page and it'd be some whack ass photos.
Oh, yeah. Terrible.
Kicks of the day, workflow.
I
can't deal with that. No, but I think, you know, lurking is a. It's a talent to be able to successfully lurk. You can't double tap accidentally.
That's true.
No screenshotting on Snapchat.
No doubt.
Yeah, but
so what's the benefit of lurking?
The benefit of lurking is fucking investigation. You are looking. It depends on what your end goal is. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I'm recently, you know, booed up.
Fascinating.
Cuffed up,
mm-hmm.
and I was lurked upon.
Ah,
and
by the person that cuffed you?
Yes.
Ooh.
She told me that, you know, the benefit was that, you know, I have a high lurkability.
Mm. Yeah, I heard you say this. Now, explain a high lurkability to our listeners.
Score. It's like a credit score. It's like a credit
score.
Break
the shit down. Yeah. You say your lurk is your work.
Know your lurk. Well, you know, being tagged in photos gives you an extra amount of lurkability.
Mm-hmm.
She said I was Googleable, which made me easier to lurk upon. I have a website with just my name.com. So she found all my information from that. I just think if you're out there,
mm-hmm.
if you're mixy, if you're out there, people tag you, mm-hmm. and you can untag yourself if you're smart. You don't want people to see you.
You don't want to be associated to certain
people. Nah. You gonna if you know somebody catch you off guard.
Only the high lurkability.
Yeah.
If you
fuck up my lurk credit,
my lurk
credit
brought me down. Yeah. Tagged by that.
But I think you know it's about that little tab that tags your photos
because,
like I said, people aren't looking at your timeline per se. They want to see where you've been.
Now, how did she reveal herself to you?
Oh,
did you know her beforehand, before
I know
the lurk?
Yeah,
okay.
I know her
now let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Now you know she was lurking you.
Were you lurking her? I was lurking her, but on a different level.
Oh shit. There's levels to this lurking shit.
It's so many levels to lurking. I lurked her, but like literally, I'm an old timey lurker.
Okay.
I just Google your name.
Okay.
I see Google images and see, you know, what you used to, because I like to see, like, your range. You know, you look good now. How did you used to look?
Ooh.
How can
did you fall off?
Yeah.
No, not even, like, did you improve? Oh. What's your range? Can you get better? Can you know, I wanted to see what she was given, and it was all thumbs up.
Okay.
Also see how popping you are, if you're popping at all.
Ooh.
You know.
Could be corny.
Fascinating.
Then do you want somebody that's popping, and how popping do you want? I'm curious.
I think you want somebody that, it depends on who you are. Like, you know, I think we are very in sync, and, you know, our poppingness is compatible.
Popability.
Okay. The poppability works. So I think,
it's a great pickup line. Listen, notice your poppability.
I'm popping, you popping.
I thought that maybe.
Let's pop off.
Let's pop together.
Now, this is I got a couple questions about the lurk game.
Yeah.
Now, this has always been interesting. Now, when you lurk, as a lurker, let me ask you.
Yeah.
How do you, when you start talking to this person, you've been lurking, how do you, you have a conversation without revealing that you know certain things about this person? Yeah.
Well, you know what it was like?
Birthmark on your left side.
We have a mutual friend, so information I got wasn't through lurking.
So
it
creepy.
Was I got it, you know, another way, a personal exchange. But she just flat out told me she was lurking on
She's
me.
Like her.
So wait a minute.
It was no shame in her lurking.
I think
you got to be a shameless lurker.
A question. Hold on. Wait a minute. So you guys, you were lurking each other.
Yeah.
And then you met.
We knew each other already.
And then all of a sudden, was it like a weird moment of eye contact? And you went.
I already know.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
How did it go from lurking to liking to like we really into it?
I think it was a low key like, a smidge of like, that it gave way to a whole lot of lurk.
Okay,
because it's like, let me see what this bitch up to.
See, I had like a little moment somewhere, and then you was like, as soon as y'all parted, you went to the smartphone. Like, let me see.
I was about a day later, but she it was a thing.
Now back to Damien's concern.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know if someone knows you're lurking them?
They don't know if you're lurking them unless you fucking sneaking watching their Snapchats and they see your name on there.
Unless you slip and double tap two weeks back.
Listen, you double tap a long time ago. See, my thing is if I'm lurking on someone and I want to share with my friends, I do screenshots of the photos because I can't fuck around and have a homegirl be like, boop, boop, my bad. I just fucking looked at this old ass photo.
47 weeks back.
That's creepy.
You should work for like an ID company. Like LifeLock.
What?
I thought it was given that if you a new motherfucker follower.
No, that's so weird.
Go back in your shit.
That's a good point.
I thought
you went through the whole catalog.
Motherfucker follow me. I'm going to go see who the fuck it is. Okay.
First
album.
I might like something 32
I
weeks
never
back.
Like, I never like past posts. Unless I'm trying to give you a little.
So
I'm
is
trying
that,
to tell
is,
you something.
Is that a unwritten
rule? Let's talk about that. Let's talk. Go ahead.
I don't like from the past. Never.
Because
so you just
like
had to take it from today.
You know somebody will blow your time, your whole history up. Mm-hmm. And you'll be like, damn, it's the same person, all these likes. I never do that.
How's that? That's creepy, right? Sometimes you get like 11 and they be old joints.
Or I have one person follow me on all social media platforms in one day. That was the weirdest shit that ever happened to me. Follow me on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, and my Tumblr. I was scared.
Now, do you think they were?
And I looked outside. It was across the street. No.
You think they were a fan or you think they were like trying to get at you?
I think this person was trying to get at me. It don't matter. It was creepy as hell.
Yeah. That's a weird.
That's weird.
There's so much etiquette to the game.
Because you put yourself out on all these platforms and shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And if a motherfucker is interested in what you're putting out in the world, they gonna follow the shit and see what it is. But if you follow too many, then it's like
It was just so like it was a lot at once. And my Twitter is like whack. So the fact that you follow me on Twitter,
But I think you make an important point about your lurkability, which means, you know what I'm saying, not only, you know, the stuff that you are tagged in, but the stuff that you're putting out, you know what I'm saying, is to be cognizant of, you know what I'm saying, how you're curating your life.
Because you will be lurked.
Let me ask you a question.
And making it worthwhile for somebody to actually look at your shit.
Yeah.
Is there a distinction where you say, this is Instagram worthy. This is Snapchat. Where do you?
Oh, I'm very like,
about your platforms. Now, what are the criteria for what makes Instagram versus what makes Snapchat?
Snapchat is the most foolish shit I see every day.
Okay.
Snapchat is just like, because it goes away. You know, Instagram now is a visual resume. You know, like I just revamped my resume and I put my fucking Instagram handle on that shit.
Wow.
Because now people want
new shit.
Resume.
You know, like people want to see
your lurker ability.
Especially in the field that I kind of that I'm in marketing, influencer marketing, all that kind of stuff. It's like, let me see, you know, who you influenced and if you influenced and who you connected to. So I think you have to have a little bit, I personally have a little bit more discretion with what I post on Instagram. There's also a method.
What's the method?
I mean, I think that, you know, people, video on Instagram doesn't do as well because Instagram is a platform for photos. So if you post, if you're someone that posts for likes versus just posting for yourself, I'm not a big person that does selfies a whole lot. That's not my shit. If it's a photo of me, it's probably like a really well done photo because selfie is just like, you know.
It's too self-indulgent.
That's not my shit.
I hear you on that shit.
I hear you on that.
But yeah, Snapchat is like
Sebastian
whatever.
Do metrics matter? Like, just beyond, like, okay, you go, you see somebody, you lurking, and you go to the Instagram, and they got 600 motherfuckers.
Do you, I love a low
following. Like a low key, it feels like a find.
Ooh, the best thing you can tell me is that you hate social media. You don't even got Instagram.
That's Jake. That's Jake.
Lord.
I'm off the grid, you know.
Ooh, that's like. That's,
come on down by the farm.
That's talking dirty. You got, and then I go look and you got like 10 followers. Yes, please. Say it again.
Killer.
I only post like once a year, like going to church on Easter and Christmas. Like I just, I love that.
You like that?
I don't like social media really, I don't think. You know, I just think there's a,
it's a means.
You have to relent to it. It's like if you're trying to build anything now, and we talk about that a lot because he says I'm old, but I'm in this industry that's very young. You have to be a part of it. So if I didn't have to, if I was already established, I would have no fucking Instagram.
Yeah, he was popping.
Yeah, and I just think I wouldn't be as active up because it's work. You're your personal agency, manning three social media accounts and coming up with content for those social media accounts regularly is a job. You are an agency.
Oh, I got a question then. So you're an agency. Now, what are some Instagram and some Snapchat faux pas? What could destroy you if you fuck around and do these type of things?
Snapchat, Instagram, faux pas. I majored in fine arts for a little bit. So I like good photos.
Okay.
I hate people that post really shit photos.
I can dig
blurry,
that.
Foggy, bad. A bad photo to me. It's just, I don't like bad photos. So you probably won't see that on my timeline. It's just something I don't really deal with. Snapchat, I think anything goes on Snapchat.
Anything.
I mean, literally anything goes on Snapchat. It's just, it's built for the moment. And then it's so fleeting that it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
It is what it is. It's just for that. I could dig it.
But someone could record your Snapchat, like if they had, you know.
You can, but it's also just like 10 seconds, you know? So it's, it is what it is.
And it's on Snapchat, so everybody know what it's supposed to be.
Everybody knows what it is. It's where you get it. It's a platform.
It's fleeting.
It's fleeting. So lookability is a byproduct. It's not something you actually look to. Like, you, someone wouldn't hire you and go, hey, listen, my lurkability is nil.
Hire me.
It's like a clout score.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But
yeah,
the unofficial.
Exactly.
Right. I think it's the nature of social media. Social media created lurkability.
Right.
You know, Twitter has, you can put on your location, you know, where you are at that time when you tweet something.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just the nature of being so connected. It's like, you know.
Yeah, and it's being cognizant of what you're actually putting out there. And
I got a black father question.
How much value it is.
Do you lurk your kids?
I follow my son who's on social media.
You ain't gotta lurk.
I don't lurk him. I don't lurk him at all.
Yo, daddy.
I actually don't lurk him. You know what I'm saying? I follow him. If his stuff comes up on my feed while I'm on, then I see it. You know what I'm saying?
Do you have alerts set up, like whenever he posts?
Huh?
You have alerts set up?
Nah. I'm not into all that shit.
You're not one of those parents that get all the text messages to their phone,
because that shit too much work. Then I can't even fucking worry about my shit.
You can't do your own shit. You get all types.
You ever heard a teenager's phone? Teenager's phone. Oh, fucking terrible. Day, group chats, this, that. I'm not fucking with all that shit, because I've been a teenager.
Yeah, right? Come on.
I've been a teenager, and when I was a teenager, you know, your parents ask you some shit, you tell them, you know what I'm saying? They understand who you are, your body language, your liability.
Your liability.
and then you'd go from there. I'm not following all that shit, because teenagers will be teenagers and do teenager shit. You know what I'm saying? And talk teenagers. If I do come across some shit where I feel like I need to check them on, I will.
Now, I'm curious now. So, say if you see something mm-hmm. that you like is questionable, what is your style? Do you wait till he gets home? You go, so.
I might comment.
Yeah, how do you. Yeah, you drop it.
Blow up the spot.
The comments again.
You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I comment if I like it. Sometimes if I don't like it, I might be like, you know, I might say something a little slick. Like, you might need to be on your homework, right? You know what I mean?
Ooh.
Something like that.
Oh, that's funny.
But see, my son, he's well aware of himself, and he has a great sense of humor about shit. And he actually, you know what I'm saying? He indulges me, you know what I'm saying? So, like, the thing with teenagers is fucking FaceTime. All that other shit is cool, but, like, back when we had to make a call,
they want
to
see each other.
Like they be on, like they might, he might be sitting there doing some totally other shit, mm-hmm. and the FaceTime is just going.
Wow,
with a motherfucker on there, they doing some other shit.
Yeah,
I'm like, what the fuck are y'all doing?
They just in the room together.
They just in the room together.
That's hilarious.
They might look up and say some shit every now and again. He watching some TV. She doing some homework.
I'm too paranoid for that.
But you know what I'm saying? I like to show up and make my face. I call it a face chat to him. You know what I'm saying? Just to seem kind of old, like, you know what I'm saying. So I'll be like, oh, yeah, you're on your face chat, huh? Who you face chatting with? Like, it's FaceTime. And then I might show up and make my appearance. Like, the other night, he was on the FaceTime, and she was asking him how to spell a word. And then I was like, y'all motherfuckers need a dictionary.
It's a walk-on character.
All this.
Hey, you see this shit?
Cameo.
He done made his motherfucking way onto the shit.
I am definitely a walk-on character. Man. I'm like, all this fucking Googling. All this Googling shit, y'all.
Wait, you walked into the frame.
You know what I'm saying? Now he got a bit going on. Wait, face chat.
He had to lean down.
That's who I am on my son's
He got
face
credits
chat.
On the end of the Snapchat.
No doubt. So, you know what I'm saying? I like that my son is very, you know what I'm saying, he's very comfortable with who he is and how he do shit. So,
well, you've never been at the dinner table just eating with him and going, nice abs you got there. You know, maybe he took a picture with his shirt off or something like that.
Nah, I don't do him like that.
Okay.
I might do him like that if we by ourselves, you know what I'm saying, okay. Not at dinner table, no shit.
All right.
I did him like that today, but, you know,
that
was just us, you know what I'm saying?
So, L, how has your comedy transition been? You put out the comedy album, what was it, 305 Live?
306.
306 Live, pardon. Put that out. I know you've been at UCB.
Yeah.
Been at the Pit.
Mm-hmm.
How's it been going? How's comedy treating you? How you feeling? What's the deal?
Well, it's been received pretty well. Mm-hmm. I think it's just about finding your groove in comedy.
Because mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily think I'm a comedian. I said I'm a funny person. A humorist, more of like just like a talker.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I've been just getting comfortable in creating my own kind of space, because I realize now that I'm more of a storyteller, and I like obviously I do everything from my home.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to be comfortable in my space. So it's just like, you know, presenting yourself as a storyteller. And I think that's why I like Snapchat.
Okay.
Because it's about your story. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's been going pretty well. I mean, continuing to put out material via
I just picture at home like a bunch of like throw pillows and a little cozy couch.
My SoundCloud. No, actually, my best friend who I live with, my college best friend, her boyfriend is a songwriter and a vocal arranger, Corey Chorus. He records all my stuff.
Oh, okay.
And he's like worked with like Demi Lovato and Rihanna.
Oh,
so
that's dope.
Mm-hmm. He's not a person that is used to doing the kind of stuff that I do.
Uh huh.
But it's funny to work with somebody who's used to working in the music industry.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I want to record. So I sit down and we usually you know, have a nice herbal refreshment.
Okay. Well, the good thing is, even if something's not that funny, they can say, hey, the audio quality was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. And so it always sounds really good.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
I got a question.
It always sounds good.
What is the French drop right before? What is that saying? What is that?
Un direct de trois cent six is live from 306.
Uh-huh.
And that's a good, one of my friends who lives in Paris, Leticia, she was visiting.
Flash.
And she visited and she stayed with me. And I was like, oh, I want you to record something for me. Mm. And I wanted to drop because a lot, like, you know, mm-hmm. my theme, my brand is about being in my home.
Mm-hmm.
306 Live. It's all about, you know, I think my style of comedy of being or being funny is that it's familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And I think by being in my home, you feel very familiar. You feel very cozy. You feel very comfortable with me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's just live from 306 in French.
That's slick. Yeah. Who are your comedy inspirations? Like, who got you into it? Like, who'd you grow up digging?
I'm really into Eddie Murphy, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Chappelle had I graduated from high school in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
So Chappelle's show, and then like being in college in like 2004, like that time of him just kind of changing what being funny really meant.
Mm-hmm.
And also like relating to being black and relating to white people.
Yeah.
Or like, mm-hmm. you know, talking about your blackness and talking about their whiteness comfortably, for sure, is Chappelle.
Mm-hmm.
Whoopi Goldberg, you know, I like a lot, like, you know, her one woman shows.
Yeah.
For sure, definitely. I think those are probably the three. I'm into Dick Gregory for sure.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of being able to communicate like political views,
militant comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in a digestible way for people.
Yeah.
Are you doing stand up? I don't
do stand up. Okay. I literally think of something, I write it, and I record it from my home.
Would you do stand up?
Yeah, I would do stand up. I'm actually like working. I think a lot of that recording from my home is probably a fear of stand up, a fear of being in front of people in that capacity. But I'm working on like, you know, joke writing and
mm-hmm.
and you know, having material that's worth presenting in front of a room full of people.
That's
awesome. Right now,
I think on the next 306 Live mixtape, there should be. Audience in your house.
In my house.
About,
yeah.
About six or seven people.
Yeah.
I think that's like it was, though. It was a couple people, or yeah, at least one or two people.
It was a few people.
Videos, but you put a couple people in there, you know? No,
it's audio. It's audio.
Yeah. But yeah, it was some people, and I got some feedback last time. I think it was just kind of like tinkering with the idea of just what you think is funny and like giving it to people and seeing how mm-hmm. they react it. But for sure, like now, you know, taking it yeah. to the next level.
Like, cause what it is, what you're doing and the stories you're telling is really like, you know what I'm saying? When I was growing up, like my parents, they would have, it was the era of the conversation pit
mm-hmm.
and everybody sitting around getting high, just fucking talking shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it was like a fucking audience, but it was in your house. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And That's the vibe that you give with the 306.
Yeah. Yeah. I like how you got, there's a couple people there. I guess it's your guy, Corey Corris. Is mm-hmm. his
yeah,
name.
That's, yeah.
I like that. It's only a couple people that every so often you hear motherfucker go, ha ha! Like, as you know,
yeah.
you struck that motherfucker. Yeah. That's that real
well,
shit.
He records me. So generally it's just, and 306 Live was when there was like people in my home.
Okay.
But everything after 306 Live is just me and Corey.
Yeah.
And I think he's just trying to be like an engineer, kind of, you mm-hmm. know, silently there.
Yeah.
But sometimes if I hit him, you know, if I make it funny, he responds. Mm-hmm. And generally we're a little intoxicated, so, yeah. it's, you know, mm-hmm. you're more prone to give it up.
He's kind of like Chris.
Yeah, yeah, that's always one of the best laughs when you get the crew to break. You know like, the mother, like, Chris is supposed to be real, you know.
Stoic.
Yeah, desensitized by the funny. So when yeah. you make him laugh, you scored one.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, it's a build up, so it'll be, you know, 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Take it to the next level.
Next level.
Well, level. Shit. Speaking of the next level, we might as well step on out of here. Get the fuck out of here. And
there's one like one of the comments say, D, I always want to transform and roll out.
I seen it.
That was one comment. Like, can a brother get an hour and a half?
Yeah, man.
Somebody actually wrote that. Can I get an hour and a half?
Run it back. Just rewind another 20 minutes and just listen to the last 20 over. We got to get the fuck out of here. We got to do some things. But as always, it's great to, you know, have y'all here. Vlad, where you going to be this week?
I'm doing spots. I'll be out in LA soon doing some spots out there. But check the website, laughingvlad.com.
That was the most vague ass, you know, check the website.
Because it's up in the air.
It's up in the air.
It's a dynamic.
Okay. Dynamic.
Okay.
Fluid.
I could dig it.
Shit, I'm going to be on the West Coast.
I may have to catch Ali out there for a cup of coffee.
Yeah, I might run into Vlad out there, catch a show.
Okay.
Wow. I'm on LA.
And if it works, maybe we'll do a Snapchat.
No doubt.
Let's schedule a Snapchat.
You know what I'm saying? No doubt.
Let's schedule a Snapchat.
Be shooting Gregory Porter's album packaging and all
nice.
That stuff.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? Ooh. So for his next album, last album got the Grammy platinum status.
Well. Right.
So hopefully, you know, we could put something nice together to keep that momentum going.
That's dope.
And then in LA doing meetings. So there catch me on the snaps.
Oh, on shit. The snap. What's your snap again?
Thorough TV.
TV.
Thoro TV.
Thorough.
L, where can the people see you at?
They can see me on social media.
All right.
Instagram at Southern L and on Snapchat at L_Clay.
Yeah. Hey, if you could do me a favor, just repeat that little French thing again.
Un direct de trois sans six.
Fantastic.
Live from 306.
That shit fly.
All right. That's it.
Listen, if y'all going to be out in Minneapolis, I'm going to be in Minneapolis from Tuesday, December 15th through the 19th at Acme Comedy Club. Get your tickets now. We going to go crazy. It's going to be a good one, man. We going hard, so get them tickets now before they sell out. All right? And as always, tell a friend to tell a friend and your enemy, too, to get in the conversation. We out.